Good morning and welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker this morning is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following this message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O. Now here is Pastor John proclaiming the Strength for Today.
This morning we're going to be looking at the subject of our battle with life's strongholds. We're going to have two texts from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." This morning we're going to be looking into the subject of Satan's strongholds in the life of a believer. We're going to be studying the conquest of the city of Jericho in the book of Joshua, chapter 5 and chapter 6. The ancient city of Jericho was a great walled city. History tells us that it was surrounded by two massive stone walls. The outer wall was 6 feet thick and 20 feet high. The inner wall was 12 feet thick and 30 feet high. There was a 15-foot guarded walkway between these two walls. From a military standpoint, the city was practically impenetrable. This great walled city stood as an obstacle between the people of God and them claiming all that God had for them. Before they could go deeper into the land of Canaan, Jericho had to fall first. You know, for us, the ancient city of Jericho represents those things that are entrenched and rooted in our lives. Those things that prevent us from going on with God. Oh, all of us have them. Regardless of how pious we may think we are, oftentimes there are things that are embedded in our lives that hinder our walk with God. It may be some besetting sin that prevents you from going deep into the things of God. For some, it may be a root of bitterness and unforgiveness that stands between you and God's best. It may be some old bad attitude that's holding you back. Perhaps something from your past that you continue to struggle with to this day. Whatever it is, it's a stronghold in your life, and it stands between you and God's best for your life. And before you'll ever receive all that God has for you, that stronghold must be torn down. In this page from Israel's history, recorded in Joshua chapter 5, we uncover some truths that will help us as we fight the battle against our own strongholds in our day today. We're going to be looking at three elements that point us to victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking at confrontation. We're going to be looking at the element of confidence. And finally, the element of conquest. The first element that points us to victory in the story before us in the conquest of Jericho is the element of confrontation. As Joshua surveys the city of Jericho, it's interesting. He has a strange confrontation. This encounter would change the course of events that he would experience before the city of Jericho. I want you to notice, first of all, the confrontation with the person of God. Here, Joshua has an encounter. This individual that Joshua meets outside of the walls of Jericho identifies himself as the captain of the Lord of hosts. It's my personal opinion that here we have a manifestation of Christ in the Old Testament before his incarnation, known as a Christophany. That is, a personal pre-Bethlehem manifestation of the appearance of Jesus Christ himself. Joshua came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, for us, by application, this pictures the matter of salvation. We have no hope of victory against Satan and against the strongholds of his attack unless we first of all have met Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Have you met the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received him as personal Savior? Notice I didn't ask you what denomination you belong to. I didn't ask you if you were a church member, or if you had been baptized or confirmed, or whether you passed through the religious traditions of your parents. I asked you, has there ever been a specific moment in your life when you knew that you were a sinner, bound for hell, and that only Jesus Christ could save you? Have you had that confrontation with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to notice that Joshua's encounter with the Lord caused him to bow down in worship. We know that this person that Joshua encountered was not just an angel, because the Word of God tells us in Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9, that angels do not receive the worship of men. No, he is called the Lord. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "The Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." So in order to have victory, the first element of victory over strongholds is confrontation. There needs to be a confrontation with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him as Savior? Not only does there need to be a confrontation with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there needs to be a confrontation with the position of God. Notice the Word of God tells us that the Lord tells Joshua that he is the captain of the Lord's host. In other words, he's letting Joshua know that he is the one who is in control of the whole situation. You know, so often we come to the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, trusting in saving grace, but then we live as if our lives were in control and we were depending upon our strength to live the Christian life. No, there needs to be a confrontation not only with the person of God, but with the position of God. He is the one that is the Lord of our lives. And we need to make him the Lord of our lives in order to achieve spiritual growth and victory. If there will ever be any victories in our lives, they will come about because of his power and not our own. Sanctification or spiritual growth is us acknowledging Jesus Christ to be Lord in every area of our lives. There's no room for pockets of insurrection or closed doors. No, Jesus Christ needs to be Lord of our lives. I ask you this morning, in our Strength for Today Bible broadcast, who is really in control of your life? The Word of God says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. So there needs to be a confrontation as the first element of victory in the Christian life. A confrontation with the person of God. There needs to be a confrontation with the position of God as Lord of your life. But then there also needs to be a confrontation with the power of God. And that implies full surrender. When Joshua met the divine captain, he asked him, "Are you for us or are you for them?" And it's interesting that the divine captain, the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, he basically said, "Joshua, I didn't come to take sides. I came to take over." You see, he needs to be the Lord of your life. So often, there are believers who take sides on issues. And each one says, "I'm right. I'm going to have my way." The truth of the matter is, all believers need to abandon their sides and line up under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and the authority of His Word. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Joshua needed to align himself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Then you'll notice there's the matter of the shoe. In Joshua chapter 5 and verse 15, the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off of thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. You know, when Moses was called in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5, he was told to take off his shoes, plural. But here, in the book of Joshua, chapter 5, it was just his shoe, singular. I believe the reason why the Lord asked for just one shoe lies in the ancient custom. When a covenant was made between two individuals, in which one possessed power to keep the covenant and the other one didn't, then the weaker individual handed the other individual one of his shoes. It was his way of saying, "I can't, but you can." Here Joshua was handing over to the Lord in transfer of authority. Joshua, facing the battle of Jericho, was in effect saying, "I can't accomplish this in my own power, but I need your strength and victory, your power. I can't win the victory in my life, but you can." Some of you are facing some real trials this morning, testings in your Christian life. Are you willing to say, as Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me"? I want you to notice, not only is there the element of confrontation that needs to be present in our lives in order to have victory, but there also needs to be the element of confidence. There needs to be confidence. And there are three areas in which Joshua displayed confidence as he faced the cities of Jericho. In chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2, Joshua exemplified confidence in God's promises. Before Joshua went to battle against the city of Jericho, he was reminded of the Lord's promise to give Israel the victory in the past. First of all, there's the past promises that Joshua depended upon. In Joshua chapter 2 and verse 9, the word of God, through the testimony of Rahab, she said, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." Joshua went to battle against Jericho because he was assured of the past promises that God had given him regarding the promised land. But then there were the present promises that Joshua had as well. In Joshua 6 and verse 2, the divine captain said unto Joshua, "See, I have given you into thine hand Jericho, the king and the mighty men of valor." Oh, how we need to know that the Lord hasn't changed His mind about His promises. God still intended to give Israel victory. And the promises of God in the past are those promises that are ours today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll always keep His promises. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, the Word of God says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." Are you trusting in those victories today as you face these strongholds that are seeking to impede your progress in the Christian life? In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Word of God says, "Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." In Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, it says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Isn't it wonderful to have the promises of God? Abraham, the Word of God says in Romans 4 and verse 29, was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. God has given us promises. And in Ephesians 3:20, He's able to do far exceedingly abundantly above that which we ask or think. Why? Because it's according to the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Joshua had confidence. He had confidence in God's promises, but I want you to notice he also had confidence in God's plan. On the surface, God's plan for Israel's victory really seemed strange. And you know, brother, you know, sister, God may be challenging you to do something in your Christian life that to many around you seems strange, but you know that it's in accordance with God's Word. What was the plan? God told Joshua that seven priests bearing seven trumpets were to walk before the ark. The priests would blow the trumpets, and the people were to walk behind the ark. And the whole parade was to walk around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they were to walk around the city seven times, and at the end of the seventh time, they were to shout. And when this happened, the walls would fall down flat. You know, there's some lessons for us that become clear to us when we take a close look at what God told them to do. First of all, they were to take seven priests. The number of completion in the Scriptures is seven. Priests are a picture of an advocate, priests representing the people. You know, the Word of God says that Jesus Christ is our advocate before the Father. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. They were also to take seven ram's horn trumpets. The ram was a picture of atonement. You remember when Abraham took Isaac to the top of Mount Moriah to put him to death. It was a ram that provided the atoning, redeeming price for Isaac. Here we have a picture of a ram, a picture of full or perfect atonement. And that is exactly what our Lord has done for us through His precious blood on Calvary. Here the children of Israel, as they marched on to the conquest of Jericho, they were told to take the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark represented the presence of God in the midst of His people. And you know, the idea is this, that in Christ Jesus, we have Him with us. He is the great Emmanuel, God in us. We have all that we need to wage the battle against the strongholds in our lives. He gives us all the provision we need as we fight. Our Lord has all power in heaven and in earth. He gives us power to walk in newness of life. He's freed us from the power and the demands of the law and has set us free to live for the Father in power and glory. And we walk with the presence of the Lord, even as the children of Israel were to take the Ark of the Covenant with them. You know, the children of Israel were told just to simply take these things and walk with them around the city. God promised them that the walls of Jericho would fall down as a result. In other words, all they had to do was to have confidence in God's plan. They were to walk with the things that He had given them, and they would enjoy victory. He wanted them to do nothing but walk by faith. What a lesson for God's church today. The secret to living the Christian life, enjoying victory over your besetting sins and seeing your strongholds brought down, is simply this. You can't do it on your own. You cannot live the Christian life in your own power. But Jesus already has. Yield unto Him. Look to Him. In the book of Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul expresses the victory and the secret of the victorious Christian life when he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So you see, Joshua had confidence in God's promises. He had confidence in God's plan, even though it didn't make sense to his generals and to those around him that were schooled in warfare. But he also had confidence, thirdly, in God's power. Israel was about to learn a very important truth, that victory was in the Lord and not in themselves. Victory was not the result of trying, but it was the result of trusting. Aren't you tired of trying to live the Christian life and failing? Then stop doing both. Just start trusting. Rest in the finished work of Christ. Realize that you have no one to please but God. And if you're in Jesus, He's already satisfied with you. Oh, I'm not advocating loose living. Far from it. If you live God's way, you'll be holier than ever. You won't just have to work hard. You can trust in Him. He's the perfect advocate. He's the perfect atonement. He is the fulfillment of the law for us. There's nothing left for us to do but rest in the finished work of Jesus and enjoy serving Him. Why do you think Jesus said, "It is finished," in John 19 and verse 30? He said it because it was. Far too many folks in church are always defeated because they're trying to live up to some standard that's been imposed on them by men, when all they really need to do is rest in the Lord. Trust in Him. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 28, the Lord gave us the wonderful words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So you see, the elements that point us to victory. To conquer the Jerichos, the strongholds in our lives, involve confrontation. They involve confidence, but finally, they involve conquest. You know, in Joshua chapter 6 and verses 6 through 21, we can see that conquest involves several things. Three things specifically. It involves determination. We need to be determined that if we're going to conquer, we've got to do it God's way. And the children of Israel needed to trust God's way. It seems that the church today is seeking some new and amazing secret to do God's work. We're wringing our hands until someone comes up with some new way of building the church. New and novel ideas. The latest of contemporary music. The latest of worldly methods to do God's work. No, God's Word tells us to be obedient unto the Lord. After all, He is the head of the church. Not only does the Lord tell us that we need determination in order to conquer, but we need dedication. You know, Israel walked around that city 6 days. When they walked around those 6 days, not a thing happened. Why? Because 6 in the Bible is the number of man. Read about it in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 18. Man can try hard as he pleases in his own power and never obtain the victory. But when they went around in obedience to God, that seventh time, the number of completion, after marching around, they had the victory. You know, after marching around that city 7 times, in the flesh, they wouldn't have had enough strength to fight a battle. The Lord brought them to the end of their rope, physically, I'm sure. But then, that's the victory of God. For when we are weak, then we are strong. And they began praising God. They were praising God for the victory by faith. And by the way, they started shouting even before the walls came down. They were praising God because they saw it with their eyes before it happened. Why? Because they believed in God's word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you see, in order to have the conquest, you need determination. You need, secondly, dedication. But thirdly, you need death. Death to self. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 21, the Lord had given the command that after the walls fell down, the Israelites were to go into Jericho and kill everything that lived, with the exception of Rahab and her family, who had expressed faith in the Lord God of Israel. Some might say, well, Pastor John, that seems awfully extreme. But you see, God knew if the people of Jericho were allowed to live, they would influence the people of Israel away from Him. So the walls of that stronghold came down, and everything in the city needed to die. My friends, have you come to the place where you have identified the strongholds in your life? They need to be eradicated, destroyed from your life. What is it that's keeping you from going forward with God? Is it lust, hatred, envy, an unforgiving spirit, bitterness, a critical spirit? Will you put it to death through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Some here have never had that first confrontation with the Lord. If you're not saved, if you were to die tonight and you don't have peace in your heart that you'd go to heaven, I'd challenge you right now to receive Christ as your personal Savior. And if you're a believer in Christ and you haven't been walking in victory, won't you confess those strongholds and give them unto Jesus? Won't you say to the Lord, Lord, I want victory in my life. Lord, I want to follow You. In a few moments, we're going to give you instructions as to how we can meet your spiritual needs. Contact us at strengthfortoday.info. Heavenly Father, bless your word and accomplish your mighty divine purpose in each and every one that has heard this message. Lord, may they contact us, and may we be of help, and may we, by God's eye of faith, see that the best is yet to come.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Civic Club, located in Winter Park, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O, or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaefer inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.